はい。はい。Okay, so it's Parshas Nitzavim. There's a major discussion regarding Parshas Nitzavim about the mitzvah of tshuva. The Ramban suggests that the source of the mitzvah of tshuva is Parshas Nitzavim. However, from the Rambam, it appears that he does not think so. The Rambam doesn't even mention a mitzvah of tshuva in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam just says, Kishayasa tshuva, when a person does tshuva, chayiv lisvados, he has to say vidu, he has to say the confessional prayer. There are those who assume that according to the Rambam, when one realizes that he sinned, of course, he's not allowed to continue to sin, but there is no requirement on him to do tshuva. But if he does tshuva, in other words, he recognizes his mistake, he's ashamed of what he did, and he is committed not to do it again, so there is a requirement upon him to oralize those feelings, and that is the vidui prayer. They call it the prayer of admission, whatever it is. And most of the later achronim were of the opinion that according to the Rambam, it's only if one has the proper feelings, the proper emotions, the proper attitudes, that there is a mitzvah of tshuva on him. But there is no requirement for him to do tshuva. And however, my great-grandfather, Reb Chaim, felt that that was an impossibility. Not only because the Rambam very often talks about how the Nevi'im, the prophets, constantly commanded the Jewish people about tshuva, of changing their ways and doing tshuva. But Reb Chaim felt that from the psukim of the Torah, it's obvious that a person is required, as soon as he recognizes that he sinned, a person is required to do tshuva. He's required to work on himself, to regret the past, to feel ashamed about the past, and most important of all, to accept upon himself that he will never commit those same sins. But the question is, how is it that the Rambam, where is that mitzvah mentioned? According to the Rambam, the mitzvah is mentioned in Parshas Naso. In Parshas Naso, the Torah says, "Vizvadu eschatosam asherasu," that one brings a sacrifice for a particular sin, so he has to say vidui. The giving of the sacrifice by itself is not enough. There's a mitzvah vidui, and the mitzvah vidui, this applies not just to those specific cases, but the mitzvah vidui applies to every time a person sins. So, but Reb Chaim felt that a person who doesn't do tshuva, of course, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tshuva is with the recitation of the vidui. If one doesn't recite the vidui, he is not fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva. But as soon as he recognizes that he sinned, he's required to recite the vidui. But what is the vidui? The vidui prayer is an admission of guilt, an oralization of a determination that I will not do it again. And obviously, just uttering those words by itself is meaningless. So by virtue of the fact that there is a requirement to say bidui, that in itself implies that part of the requirement is doing tshuva, of having the proper attitude, of having feelings of regret, of having a determination not to commit that same sin again. So the Rambam's opinion is, according to Reb Chaim, that the mitzvah of tshuva and the mitzvah vidui is one mitzvah. However, the opinion, the opinion of the Ramban in this week's Sedra, Nitzavim, is that there are two separate mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah of tshuva, that's the first mitzvah. When you recognize your sin, so you have to work on yourself. First of all, of course, to stop the sinning. Secondly, you have to have feelings of regret. And most important of all, you have to be determined not to repeat the sins that you committed earlier. But then there's an additional mitzvah. And where is that mitzvah mentioned? That mitzvah is mentioned in this week's Sedra. Because in this week's Sedra, the Torah tells us about what's going to happen to the Jewish people in the future. And how they're going to go into Golos, they're going to go into exile because of their sins. And the catastrophe that will overtake them because they deviated from the Torah. And then the Torah says in Perek Lamed, "B'shafta Hashem elokecha," and you shall return to God. And according to the Ramban, according to Nachmanides, "B'shafta Hashem elokecha" is not just telling us what is going to happen in the future. Because certainly, the simple reading of the Psukim, the simple reading of that chapter in this week's Sedra, implies that this is a prophecy. And as the Rambam says, not just a prophecy, but it's a commitment and a promise that ultimately, in the end of days, the Jewish people will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will do tshuva. And as the Rambam says, for Hivticha Torah, the Torah gave a commitment, Shasid in Yisrael lasos tshuva, that the Jewish people in the future will do tshuva. But also implied in these words, according to the Ramban, is that you are required to do tshuva. B'shavta Hashem elokecha, and you shall return to God your God, is to be understood in two ways. One way it's to be understood as a prophecy and a commitment, and you will return. And the other way as a command, and you shall return. You are required to return. I remember many years ago, Rabbi Wernick, who was the Mashgiach in the Hebrew Theological College. So he went over to me. He says, "How does one do tshuva? How does one repent for not repenting?" And my response was, by repenting. In other words, let's say someone committed a sin, and he postponed doing tshuva. For the duration of that period, he neglected a mitzvah, even if he didn't redo that sin. He stopped doing the sin. But nevertheless, for that duration of period of time, he was required to do tshuva, to commit himself to not doing the thing again, to regret what he did do. So if we say that tshuva is a mitzvah, so when you want to do tshuva, you not only should do tshuva for the sin, the original sin that you did, but you should do tshuva also for having waited to do tshuva and not working on yourself initially as soon as you became aware of the sin. That to work on yourself to do tshuva. So according to the Ramban, the mitzvah, the Veshavta Hashem Lekecha, which from the simple words of the pasuk talks about what will occur at the end of days, also implies a responsibility on every Jew. The Jews of the past, during their time, the Jews of our time, and the Jews of the future, to return from their sins. So, and in a sense, one could really ask, why is it that the Torah used the exact same words, which talks about a prophecy of something that's going to happen in the future, to serve as a mitzvah, as a requirement of the Jews of all earlier generations as well, to work on themselves through tshuva, to have the proper attitude, to change their approach in life, and to commit themselves to act in the proper way. And I think there are two answers for it. One is, as we'll see, and I'll get into it later on. One answer is because the Torah understood that the biggest hindrance fulfilling the mitzvah of tshuva, of one changing their ways, the biggest obstacle that prevents people from doing tshuva is the fear that we can't do it. I remember when my son was in the hospital, so I would be there on Shabbosim, and there were a number of other Jewish patients in the hospital. And I decided that there were times when I couldn't be in my son's room, either because the doctors were in there, procedures were being done, or he was taken for tests. So I would use that opportunity to visit some of the other Jewish patients in the hospital. And the one thing I noticed was they all wanted to talk. They wanted to talk about their past. Many had a somewhat traditional past, but deviated from tradition later on in life. And they wanted to talk. I assume, you know, being in the hospital, to a certain degree, there's a certain sense of loneliness. And at the end of the discussion, I would say to them, do you want me to make kiddush for you? It was Shabbos. I had a bottle of grape juice. And very often they would say, no, not that. They treasured their past religious experiences, but they felt the need to leave that in the past. And I remember once one lady says, "It's too late." There is this feeling of not having hope that is the biggest stumbling block to prevent people from coming back to tradition. And I think perhaps that's the reason why the Torah, according to the Ramban, tells us about the mitzvah of tshuva, when it tells us that at the end of the days, the Jewish people will do tshuva. In other words, that we should get encouragement from our knowledge of the future and use it for the present. And I think there is perhaps another reason as well. But see, I think that especially we Paskin, Ein Yisrael Negalim El Tshuva, the Rambam says that the Jewish people will only be redeemed with Tshuva. So it's possible to suggest that the mitzvah of tshuva is not just the mitzvah of changing my ways, but the mitzvah of tshuva is doing my part in the bringing of Mashiach, in the bringing of the Gula, in the bringing of the tradition. I think it's very interesting, and I'm saying this as praise of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, of blessed memory. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, on one hand, perhaps more than any other person of his generation, was involved in organizing Kiruv Rechokim, bringing people closer to tradition. Bringing people closer to Torah. Sometimes it's what was one mitzvah at a time. And it's not that others were not involved. Certainly since the Six-Day War, and even before the Six-Day War, there were those that were involved in bringing people closer to Torah. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of course, he had at his disposal a whole army of lieutenants who went out and worked all over the world to bring people closer to Torah. But he also was the one who focused very much on the coming of Mashiach, on the coming of the Gula, on the coming of the redemption. And the two really go together, because every generation that a person does tshuva, the person returns, that a person changes his ways and comes closer to tradition, that is contributing to the Gula, contributing to the bringing of the Mashiach. When we do tshuva, we're not only making our future brighter, but we're contributing to brightening the future of the Jewish people. But the two have to go hand in hand. You can't emphasize Geula. You can't emphasize tradition. You can't emphasize redemption without emphasizing coming closer to Torah. And we have to understand, because the ultimate goal of doing the mitzvahs HaTorah is, in a sense, coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ultimate goal of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world is B'Yemos HaMashiach, in the generation. And that's when the Jewish people, as a nation, will do tshuva. So the mitzvah of tshuva, in a sense, is doing my own contribution to the bringing of the Geula, the bringing of the redemption. And consequently, the paragraph that discusses about the ultimate return of the Jewish people, true tradition, is the source for the mitzvah of tshuva of the Jews of every generation. And the Ramban, in discussing the mitzvah of tshuva, he says, "Ki ha-mitzvah zos, this mitzvah, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom, that I'm commanding you today, lo nifleisi mimcha, v'lo rechotehi. It's not hidden from you, and it's not distant." There is an unfortunate attitude today. And somehow I think the pasuk might be addressing specifically the problem that we're confronting today, that in order to do tshuva, in order to remain committed, in order to become committed and remain committed to Torah and mitzvot, that can only be accomplished when you leave your situation. And what is the result of this attitude? The result of this attitude is that people who do tshuva and return to tradition, because they're spending time in Israel, because they have what I would call a religious encounter, when they go back to their old situation, go back to their old ways as well. So you have to understand that tshuva is not a one-moment thing. It's an ongoing process, as I will mention. And when we do tshuva, we have to do tshuva in a manner that, irregardless of the changing situation, and this is true about commitment to Torah in general, not just the tshuva. In a sense, this is the problem of chinuch today, the problem of Jewish education today. Children are given the impression, not just children, adults are given the impression that in order to be fully observant, they have to live in certain communities. I'm not denying that living in certain communities, in communities that are grounded, that the whole community is grounded in Torah, is helpful in the individual remaining committed to Torah and even growing in Torah. And when I'm speaking about growing in Torah, I'm not just speaking about learning Torah. I'm talking about real commitment to the mitzvot HaTorah. But nevertheless, the commitment to Torah cannot be a situational commitment. Lo nifle simcha, it's not hidden for you. Lo rechokehi, it's not far away. Lo b'shamayim hu leimor miyal olanu ha-shamayimah. It's not on the other side of the sea, on the other side of the ocean. Tshuva can be done and fulfilled and perpetuated everywhere, anywhere. It's in your mouth. It's the you have the ability with your mouth, your heart. Heart doesn't necessarily have to mean your heart. It could also mean your brain, your thinking. Lasoso to do so. Now it's very interesting. It says beficha. With your mouth. So the Ramban says that's vidui. That's the confessional prayer. Ulavavcha, in your heart or in your mind. Lasoso, to do it, to follow through with it. And we know that when you say the initial vidui, you already have to have the proper attitude. As the Ramban says, when a person does do tshuva in his heart, he's required to say vidui. So how is it that the Torah says beficha first in your mouth, uvelavavcha, in your heart and in your mind, lasosu, to do it? How are we to understand it? But the answer is that the vidui serves a double purpose. On one hand, the vidui is a declaration of a commitment that I will observe, the mitzvahs of the Torah, that I regret the sins that I did in the past, and my neglect of being committed to tradition. But on the other hand, the vidui prayer is also to constantly reinforce that commitment. I once heard from my father, The Gemara mentions, the Rambam Paskins, that sins that a person said vidui on one Yom Kippur, that a person did tshuva for them on Yom Kippur, we Paskin that in future Yom HaKippurim, in future years in Yom Kippur, you say the vidui over again. There are different opinions exactly the nature of the vidui. But the question is, what's the purpose? I already attained kapara. The first Yom Kippur that I did tshuva. What's the purpose of every year on Yom HaKippurim? To say the vidui over again. The Rambam says, my father said, midarkei hatshuva. There is a path of tshuva. Tshuva isn't the mitzvah of just one day a year. Tshuva is ongoing. The process of tshuva is lifelong. You might do tshuva in 1 minute. You might do tshuva in 1 day. You might do tshuva in 1 year. But it has to constantly be reinforced. Don't we know? We go on a diet. It's easy to go on a diet. It's somewhat more difficult to stay on the diet. And tshuva is the same thing. The tshuva has to be reinforced. So therefore, every year on Yom Kippur, even though I already changed my ways, I have to reinforce the commitment I originally made. Because tshuva is a lifelong process. And it's interesting, you know, there's a whole discussion in the Mefarshim, in the Rishonim, till what time, when a person could start saying Nila. Nila is the final prayer of Yom HaKippurim. All kinds of opinions, how early it could be said. Your opinions, how late it could be said. And very often, we rely on opinions that allow the Ila certain to be concluded. The Chazaras Hashatz, after the time in Yom HaKippurim that one has a, that one attains kapara, that attains atonement. We don't want there to be a break between the Ne'ilah, between the blowing of the shofar, Ne'ilah and the blowing of the shofar, and allowing people to eat. So we push the Ne'ilah almost to the moment that we could start davening Ma'ariv. And that's when we blow the shofar. The question is, why? What good is it? How do we say the vidui, the special atonement, the day of the special atonement of Yom Kippur is sometimes over by that point? Especially if someone is a slow davener. Okay, there are opinions that perhaps allow for it. But how are we to understand what is the purpose of it? I heard from my father, because vidui, in addition to bringing atonement, vidui is also to reinforce. Reinforce the kapara, reinforce the atonement. So on the contrary, at the conclusion of the time of atonement of Yom HaKippurim, after the sun has set, when there is no certainty that this is a special time of kapara, of atonement, nevertheless, there's a purpose in the vidui. There's a purpose because it reinforces what was accomplished in Yom HaKippurim. That's the reason why perhaps we could say b'ficha l'vavcha la'sosa. It's in your mouth and in your heart, la'sosa, to do it. La'sosa, to do tshuva, is not something that's done in 1 minute. It begins with 1 minute. It can begin with 1 minute, but it has to continue the rest of one's life. And you have to know that doing tshuva is not something just that's done by those who are non-observant. Even the observant ones, even those who are brought up with a commitment to observance of Torah, there isn't a person that doesn't make a blunder at one time. And sometimes that's a blunder that is repeated over and over again. You need a Baal Tshuva movement, not just for those who were brought up in homes that were not committed tradition. lead a Bolshevik movement for those that were brought up in homes, who see themselves as observant, but have to do tshuva and remain committed to the sins that they did, that they thought weren't that important. And it's interesting, if you take a look, this the Haftarah of next week, the Haftarah before that usually, it's always been in our custom, the Haftarah that is said on Shabbos Tshuva, the Haftarah that is said that's said the week before Rosh Hashanah, it's a week from now. The Haftarah that said next week, so Sosis. So the Haftarah there, the Haftarah there, according to the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, we don't follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam. The Haftarah that is on a year when there's a Shabbos, as this year there is, a Shabbos between when there's a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So, when there's a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so then the so Sosis is recited the Shabbos before Sukkot. Why is it recited? Why is it recited the Shabbos before? Why is it recited Shayes this year? Why is it recited the Shabbos before Sukkot instead of the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah? Because it's an expression of joy. It's an expression of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He wants us to do. He wants us to have kapara. He wants us to have atonement. Because after Tisha B'Av, we thought that we were lost. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated Himself from us. That He gave the Churban that He destroyed His house that He in which He dwelt in our midst. But then, over the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks, we begin to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with us. So the last week, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wanting to have a relationship with us. So the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam says the more proper time to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more proper time to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shabbos after Yom HaKippurim, because that's when we receive the atonement. It's true, Rabbeinu Tam mentions that there are psukim in the Haftorah from Yoel that speak about the harvest season. But we say psukim from Hosea, Shuva Yisrael, that speak about Shuva. Why should we speak about Shuva after Yom HaKippurim, according to Rabbeinu Tam Shita? The answer is because the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam is that we say the Haftorah of Shabbos Tshuva. We say the Haftorah that regularly is said Shabbos Tshuva. We say that Haftorah and the Shabbos before Sukkot. We don't follow that practice. Why? Because there are psukim, there are three Nevi'im there in that Haftorah. But in the psukim of Yoel, it mentions about the harvest season. And that's appropriate because Sukkot is the harvest season. So the Sukkot is the harvest season. Sukkot is the harvest season. So the Sukkot is the harvest season, but we have to. Sukkot is the harvest season, but we mentioned Sukkot from Hosea of Shuva Yisrael. Why after Yom Kippur talk about Shuva? Why mention the Psukim from Hosea of Shuva Yisrael? But the answer is the reason we mention those Psukim is because we have to know that Shuva doesn't end with Yom Kippur. Shuva doesn't end with Yom Kippur. There are three opinions. That's why I got confused. The opinion of in a year when there is a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the sheet of the Rav HaKovel is that we say solstice that year, the Shabbos before Sukkot. And we don't say it the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, because his sheet is that we thank God. The better time to thank God for his attitude of welcoming our tshuva is after we get the kapara than before we get the kapara. In a year that there is no Shabbos between Sukkot, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so we do it the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, because God, we know that God wants to give us kapara. But in the year that there's a Shabbos before Yom Kippur, that according to the Rav HaKovel, that's the proper time for it. We don't paskin that way. And the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is that if there's a Shabbos before, Sukkot, after Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so then we say the Shuva Yisrael, Haftover of Shuva Yisrael. And that's what I was addressing. And our minhag is that we say Shiras David, the Shir of David, because it's Parshas Hazin. Okay, but so now and to a certain degree, the Torah then goes on to say, after mentioning about what's going to happen, in the future, and according to the Ramban, after telling us about the mitzvah of tshuva, the Torah tells us, "Re'ena sati l'fanecha yom esachaim besatov veshamavis veshara." In other words, it talks about freedom of will. Now we understand we understand why the Torah talks about freedom of will in regard to the mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam mentions it. Rambam says a person has to know that whatever deeds he did, he chose to do. And he has to know that he had, just as he chose to do certain things, he has the ability to do tshuva. Person has to know that he has the ability to do tshuva. So we can understand immediately while after talking about the mitzvah of tshuva, of returning to God, the Rambam talks about the freedom of, the Torah talks about freedom of will. And la'ablas Hashem al-kecha, that to love God. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva emphasizes, he uses Hilchos Tshuva to talk about the significance of avas Hashem, perek yud of Hilchos Tshuva, love of God. Person, ideally, the full mitzvah of tshuva is fulfilled when it's done may ava out of love of God, rather than because I can't sin anymore, I don't have that ability. Of course, if a person does tshuva under any circumstances, accept it. But ideally, the tshuva should be because of love of God, because one wants to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we understand why it talks that. But afterwards, he says, L'leches bedrachav, to walk in his path, and to observe his mitzvos. Now, what does the leches medrachav mean? Leches medrachav is that we have to just as God is merciful, so we too have to be merciful. We have to imitate the traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would be in us, character traits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Leches Bedrachov. Now, Leches Bedrachov, that's a halacha. So why did the Torah have to single that out? Why did the Torah didn't include that? Lishmor Mitzasa V'chukasa V'mishpata. It's included in observing the mitzvahs of Torah. It's a requirement for halacha Bedrachov. Mahu racham afet tehei racham. Mahu chanun afet tehei chanun. In other words, we have to show mercy. Also, just like God shows mercy, we have to have these positive, these traits, the positive character traits that we could have to imitate the deeds that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So why? Well, that's included in the mitzvos as well. So why is it that the Torah emphasizes Leleches Bedrachov? Now, I think it's very interesting. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we are now in the period of Slichas. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Vayavar Hashem Alpanav, he said that there was Rabbi Yochanan said that if the Torah didn't tell it to me, I wouldn't be allowed to say such a thing. But the Torah tells me, and Rabbi Yochanan understood, Vayavar Hashem Alpanav, not from the perspective of God passed by the face of Moshe, but in the sense when Moshe asked God, Hareini Nas Kvodecha, show me your glory. Tell me the ways, your ways of the ways you work in the world. So Vayavar Hashem Alpanav, God covered his own face figuratively. And the Gemara says in the Satev, it's like figuratively God put a talus over his face, like Kishliach Tzibor, like a chazen. And he said, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachem B'chanon. He talked about the mercifulness of God. God talked about his traits of mercy. So God said, anytime the Jewish people sin, and this is the foundation of Slichas, any time the Jewish people sin, they should do what I'm doing now. Say, Hashem, Hashem, Racham B'chanon. God, God is merciful. Why is it that way? Why is it necessary necessary for HaKadosh Baruch for man to say, to mention, when after the Jewish people sin, why is it necessary for them to cry out, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham B'chanon, talk about the merciful traits of God? But I think there are two reasons. One reason I already mentioned. One reason is because, as I mentioned before, the biggest hindrance to doing tshuva is to think that God doesn't want us to do tshuva. That God isn't interested. That with our sins, we cut ourselves off from God. Or is it the lady, as like the lady in the hospital said to me, it's too late. It's never too late. So we have to understand, and before we do tshuva, before the period of tshuva comes, we scream out, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Racham B'chanon. We should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva. That God wants us. Because if we don't focus on the idea that God wants us to do tshuva, that he's merciful, we won't be able to do tshuva. If you take a look at the Rambam says that the slichas is said during the Aseres Yemei Shabbat, during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, these are days dedicated to tshuva. We understand why it should be said that way. But the question is, why in Elul? Why, or the custom of the Ashkenazim a week before before Rosh Hashanah? In other words, Rosh Hashanah is the Aser Shemei Tshuva. It's the beginning of the period of Tshuva to a certain degree. And this is Anila Dodi Bedodi Li. Elul's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with me. Just as the Shiva the Nechemta, the 7 weeks, the Haftorah emphasizes that God wants a relationship with us. So because of that, we scream out, before the Aseres Yemei Tshuva begin, and this is the foundation of Slichas, Hashem, Hashem, Rachum V'chanon, do not think that God is going to push your Tshuva aside. On the contrary, God is going to show mercy. And this is, but I think there is another reason as well. And the other reason is that when we ask God, when we ask God for mercy, it's important for us to show mercy as well. In a certain sense, the Reb Chaim Volozhiner mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that to a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creating man, and Rosh Hashanah commemorates the creation of man. God gave man powers to control the upper worlds. And by controlling the upper worlds, man ultimately is able to control the lower worlds. He says, Ba'al HaKisei, the Navi says, on top of the throne is Kamar Adam, is like man. Of course, God is all powerful and can do whatever he does, what he chooses to do. But God endowed man with power. In a sense, sometimes man, and specifically the Jewish people, are endowed with the power of Chas V'Shalom, figuratively tying the hands of God, not allowing God and only to intervene. And sometimes on the contrary, when we act properly, we give additional strength to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting, in the Haftorah of last week, The halacha is that when it comes to the tochacha, there's discussion which tochachas, but when it comes to the tochacha, we don't make aliyahs in the middle of the tochacha. And one of the reasons is because we don't want the brachos that someone who gets an aliyah attached to the tochacha, to the curses, to the tragedies that will overtake the Jewish people if they sin or when they sin. And why? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to be blessed when the Jewish people are bitzar. Shari Anochi Imam Bitzar, the Masechet Sofrim says, Rashi and Tosis bring it down. I am in pain together with them. So I don't want to have a blessing that's attached to the tochacha. So there has to be a couple psukim before the tochacha and a couple psukim after the tochacha when the bracha is said. The question is why? Why is it that way? The answer is, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner and according to the Palge Mayim of the Nesivos on Eicha, man by his sin figuratively ties the hands of God. And man, by doing mitzvahs, strengthens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives him strength. These are limitations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put on himself. And so bracha, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, means tosfos, additional strength. So the word bracha, when a Jew makes a bracha, figuratively, you recognize God for something. So you're giving strength to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we talk about the Tochacha, why did the Tochacha take place? Because we figuratively tied the hands of God. Because we figuratively tied the hands of God. God did not intervene. And nature took its own course. And when God doesn't intervene, tragedies can and will happen for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. So the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, in other words, the strength HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is mirrored to a certain degree by the way we act. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to intervene on the basis of the mid of rachamim, on the basis of the mid of mercy. We have to show mercy also. So when we say, Hashem, Hashem, kel racham b'chanon, erech apayim rav chesed emes, all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, it's not just that we should be aware of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does to give us the strength, to give us the encouragement to do tshuva. But also it places a responsibility on us to use these same traits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use for us. We have to use these same traits also. That's for halachta b'dracha, to walk in his path. So when we do tshuva, we have to scream out, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum b'chanon erech apayim rav chesed v'emes. God is merciful. He shows kindness. But it's important for us to know that it's not just that God has these traits. We have to have those traits also. And if we display those traits, and if we have those feelings, Rachum Chanan Erech Apayim, we strengthen God in the use of those midos, in the use of those traits. And we should use these days as we go from Elul to the new year, to the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, to not only be aware that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us chesed, but we have to focus on doing chesed, on showing rachamim, on being merciful. And we can be sure that if we act in that manner, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be strengthening HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attitude to us will mirror many times over what we are doing. Okay.
If anyone has questions, put them in the chat.
I apologize that I confused the sheet that's in the middle. Okay.
If one question here is, if someone did several averos, do they have to say a vidoy for each one? Or can they say one vidoy for several averos?
Well, you look in the Seder, you see that you should say vidoy for each sin. The halach is you should mention the sin. It doesn't mean that if I did something 10 times, you have to say the same vidoy 10 times. You know, but for whatever sin that you are aware of, Whatever sin that you're aware of, you should say a vidui for it instead. That's why it is such a long list in on Yom Kippur of the in the vidui.
The Ashamnus and the Alchets in Yom Kippur don't count as a vidui, do they?
It's a partial vidui. It's a partial vidui. It's sort of say it's like well, first of all, according to some pshitas on Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur itself, it counts as a vidui because Yom HaKippurim has a special, the day itself gives kapara. So it could be that coupled with the Yom HaKippurim, the smaller version of the smaller version of the vidui, shorter vidui, could be effective. But there are shitas about that.
And then a comment for something you said before halfway through the share, when you recognize it, it's not just an encounter, but it's an epiphany. Someone commented.
Well, what's an epiphany? What did I say? I'm not sure. What does epiphany mean?
It's when you realize something that you didn't before. It's like an eye-opening.
Yes.
Well, realization.
The general chiyuv of tshuva, is when you recognize that you sinned. If you're not aware, you're not aware. Yom HaKippurim, and this is to a certain degree, you could say the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, these are days where we try to evaluate what sins we made, what mistakes we made. We may not even be aware that we sinned. So all year round, I don't think a person has to constantly walk around, oh, what did I do? What did I do? But it would be proper before Yom HaKippurim, using the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, to evaluate what a person did. You know, you could say, before whom you're going to give a ruling and a cheshbon, an evaluation. Question is, before God, of course, it should be an evaluation before the din. But in other words, sometimes we could suggest din, that has to do with the sin that I'm aware of. Cheshbon has to do with the sins that I should be aware of, and I did not make myself aware of it. So, in other words, it's not something a person, we don't want people to become neurotic, but there is a time for a person to evaluate, where am I? How did I act? Was this a proper way of acting or not? But again, the person should not make themselves neurotic.